There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Hate groups have their own Twitter accounts, and bigotry can fester in hidden places in cyberspace. It can be even harder to counteract such intolerance. But God compels us to try. First, we should start with some basic humility. I believe that the starting point of faith is some doubt. Not being so full of yourself and so confident that you are right and that God speaks only to us and doesn't speak to others. That God only cares about us and doesn't care about others. That somehow we alone are in possession of the truth. Our job is not to ask that God respond to our notion of truth. Our job is to be true to Him, His word, and His commandments. And we should assume humbly that we're confused and don't always know what we're doing. And we're staggering and stumbling towards Him. And have some humility in that process. And that means we have to speak up against those who would misuse His name to justify oppression or violence or hatred with that fierce certainty. No God condones terror. No grievance justifies the taking of innocent lives or the oppression of those who are weaker or fewer in number. And so as people of faith, we are summoned to push back against those who try to distort our religion. Any religion for their own nihilistic ends. And here at home and around the world, we will constantly reaffirm that fundamental freedom, freedom of religion, the right to practice our faith how we choose, to change our faith if we choose, to practice no faith at all if we choose, and to do so free of persecution and fear and discrimination. There's wisdom in our founders writing in those documents that helped found this nation the notion of freedom of religion, because they understood the need for humility. They also understood the need to uphold freedom of speech, that there was a connection between freedom of speech and freedom of religion. For to infringe on one right under the pretext of protecting another is a betrayal of both. But part of humility is also recognizing in modern, complicated, diverse societies, the functioning of these rights, the concern for the protection of these rights, calls for each of us to exercise civility and restraint and judgment. And if, in fact, we defend the legal right of a person to insult another's religion, we're equally obligated to use our free speech to condemn such insults and stand shoulder to shoulder with religious communities, particularly religious minorities who are targets of such attacks. Just because you have the right to say something doesn't mean the rest of us shouldn't question those who would insult others in the name of free speech.
All right, I agree with that last statement, but some of the stuff in between really ticked off a lot of people. That was the president at the National Prayer Breakfast, and we wanted you to hear a big chunk of it so you could really get a sense of what he was saying. Welcome to America tonight, Kate Delaney, always hanging out with all of you across this great nation. So here was some of the reaction to what the Prez had to say. Former U.S. Rep. Representative Alan West said, President Obama is the gift that keeps on giving. The Islam apologist in chief attempted to find moral equivalency between the brutality of ISIS and Christianity. Bill Donahue, who is the president of the Catholic League, said the president should apologize for his insulting comparison. Former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore, a Republican, said Obama's remarks were the most offensive I've ever heard a president make in my lifetime. He said it illustrated that Obama does not believe in America or the values we all share. There is no moral equivalency for the horrific behavior of terrorists whose atrocities are shocking and reprehensible. So all day long on Twitter, this is pretty much what was offered up, you know, by people, certainly Republicans, but by other people who were offended by the comparisons of what he said about Christians and what he said about the ISIS group and what they were doing. In fact, I was reading something, and this is no surprise because Pat Buchanan certainly does not have any love for President Obama, but I caught him on a television show today, and he said he's trying to give them all the equivalence to what happened in the 11th century to what's happening today. It's astonishing. The whole idea of the Inquisition in Spain, I mean, these things are hundreds of years ago. That was a 30-year war long, long, long ago. I can't think of any atrocities that have really been committed in the name of Christ. There's no justification anywhere in all the books of the New Testament for any kind of violence on the scale of what we saw with that Jordanian pilot. And Buchanan said that the Prez has a real problem with the cold, hard truth and reality of our times, that there is an element in the Islamic community worldwide which has awakened and has embarked on a global crusade of its own to conquer Western countries. So do you think that's true? Do you think that there's this element in the Islamic community that is going on global crusades to conquer Western countries, or do you think it's a bunch of nutball, creepy, scuzzbags, barbaric idiots who are using Islam as their shield, like, oh yeah, we're all about Islam, to just go and do whatever they please, killing, raping children in these villages, and other heinous acts, like obviously the Jordanian pilot, which was mentioned there, or the Americans, sadly, that were both beheaded, or any of the terrible things that have happened. I mean, to me, I think there is, more than anything, a stepping around, and you can see it, there is a stepping around of the idea of just saying an Islamic terrorist, because there are Islamic terrorists. So there is a definite blowback to that. It was like the whole thing with the Taliban. You certainly cannot say the Taliban are not a terrorist group, because that's who our soldiers were fighting in Afghanistan, or at least a big chunk of the time, certainly, for over 10 years. That would be like saying, well, why would we have sent them to Afghanistan? Why are we fighting the Taliban if they're not terrorists? So there is a very weird thing with language and addressing what direction they're going in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And I do think that came out at the prayer breakfast. But I agree with what the last man has said. Hey, freedom of speech and what people want to express. I always say you can always tune out, tune off, whatever, if you don't agree with it. Thank goodness we live in the United States of America where we have freedom of speech. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Tonight, a conversation with Steve Kelly about why we bury our heads in the sand when it comes to money. And I get it. I think really, I would say 90% of the people I know fall into that category. And why do we give so much power to paper? So, free money guy Steve Kelly coming up round the bend on America Tonight. Plus, at the tail end of the hour, dumb things I shouldn't have done. Boy, I've got some really good ones that I've stored up for the last couple of weeks, to be sure. I love it when you just feed the machine with things I wasn't even thinking about. You know, there's some common denominators, I think, among all of us, forgetting keys, leaving IDs, leaving cell phones, you know, all kinds of things, having a cell phone in a pocket and jumping in a pool or having something else happen to it. There's a lot of different things that I've seen with the dumb things category, but you had some really unique things this time around. All right, so I want to talk about this Brian Williams thing again, because Brian Williams, the NBC News anchor, said he misremembered events that led him to believe he was in a helicopter hit by an RPG fire. And everybody's coming out of the woodwork, of course, to comment on this. And there's media critics, and he's in a high-profile position, so that certainly makes sense. And I guess the question is, do you trust a Brian Williams after lying? I mean, then he came back and did a mea culpa. I mean, he apologized, said he misremembered. And, you know, is it that big of a deal or is it a big deal because he's a network anchor? And I think it just feeds the fuel or the fire, gives more fuel being heaped onto the fire, better way to say it, of people who don't like media folks, especially television media people, who do editorials and who are quick to comment on things, and then they come out of the woodwork with something crazy that happens, and they inflate something they did or flat out lie about something, or there's some other nefarious thing going on. And especially when you're in that position where you're on the desk. So a lot of people are reacting to that. A lot of people are reacting to whether or not he should be there, including Bill Kristol, who says NBC must show Brian Williams the door. That how can you trust him after making the comments that he did? I mean, certainly you or I would know, I believe, if we were shot down in a helicopter. We would also know it was a scary situation, and good for him that he was willing to go into risky situations, because he did when he was embedded. And even there, he was the second helicopter in, and there was a sandstorm, and of course there was danger, obviously. But it's still not the same thing. It's still not the same thing as being hit by an RPG. Think of a helicopter, and if you've ever ridden in a helicopter, oh boy. Oh boy. And maybe it's just me, but I think it's shaky. Now, these were military helicopters, so much different than the little crazy news copter I was in. But the fact that he misremembered, it just, if credibility is anything, how does he have credibility as the, because he wanted the title. He's got the managing editor and anchor of the evening newscast. How does that, what does that do to his credibility? Because this is a story that he certainly has told many times in 12 years, different versions, you know, but in all of them, he took fire, was in danger, all that kind of stuff. I don't think it's about that, because, I mean, who knows how many, you know, who knows how many versions of the story, if any, were out there. But I think this, the whole idea that it was hit by two rocket-propelled grenades and small arms fired over Iraq and was forced to land is, wow. And what does that do to the helicopter where that actually happened, and, of course, to the military? I think that's the problem. Pardon the pun, but what a black eye to the military. So he was called out on the story when soldiers who were with him in 2003 told Stars and Stripes that he was actually on a Chinook that wasn't hit, but landed on the scene of the one that was hit about an hour later. So the sandstorm is what kept him stranded, and it wasn't a damaged helicopter, which led to Williams apologizing on the newscast on Wednesday. He also wrote an apology, which was smart, to Stars and Stripes. And I don't know. He said, you know, something caused him to misremember. And I guess, you know, that's probably the problem with the whole statement. I mean, it's inexplicable that he could have confused, I think, the two helicopters. I mean, how do you do that? And this is the whole thing of being the anchor and getting the facts, you know, who, what, where, when, and why, and especially if you're in the middle of it. So you think about other people, you know, you think about other people who have, I'll call it, fallen on the sword for things that have happened to them while they were on the anchor desk, like Dan Rather, CBS News, and I don't know, you look at this and you think, I mean, there's people that are certainly circling the wagons around Brian Williams, and NBC can do what they choose to do. There's nothing that says that they have to remove him. They can keep him in that spot. I wonder if it dents the ratings at all. But, you know, like Dan Rather, who had his own problems. Dan Rather said that he's an honest, decent man. He's saying Brian Williams, an excellent reporter and anchor, and a brave one, and says that he can attest that, like his predecessor, Tom Brokaw, he's a superb pro and a gutsy one. And remember, as I'm saying about Rather, in 2004, he had to retract a report that used phony documents on then-President George W. Bush's National Guard service during the Vietnam era. And then Rather, he took so much heat for that, he retired a year later, and that had to be a little bit of what pushed him out of that situation. So he's saying, you know, he's saying that, hey, listen, He's a great reporter. And then you have the guy who piloted the Chinook that Williams was in, and he told CNN that their chopper did take some small arms fire, but that it was not hit at all by an RPG, as Brian Williams had claimed. That there was nothing of the sort had had happened. So I think NBC tries to weather it. I think they just try to weather it and move on with it. I don't believe that they replace him. I don't think they're going to do anything to, he's got to redeem himself, I guess. And he was given a chance to redeem himself by saying it's sort of mea culpa on the nightly news. But I don't think NBC does anything with this. I think they just leave it as is. And when you look at the television news ratings, they certainly aren't what they were back in the Walter Cronkite days, when you didn't have a gazillion cable stations and people weren't getting news from other sources. It was all about the nightly news, and you always scurried to get the nightly news. You scurried home to get the nightly news, and you knew, what was going on and who was doing what, and especially Cronkite had incredible ratings, and maybe some of the local news stations get some of those bigger ratings, but I think a lot of them are parceled out, frankly, when it comes to a network news. So even though he's taking a lot of flack for this, I think, the Baltimore Sun's critics said Brian Williams lied, he should be removed, and there have been actually some journalists that you might call on the left side of the aisle saying that, while a lot are sticking up and saying that he should probably step aside, but I don't think so. I think they just move on with this. Maybe he goes on the road and he reports on the road or something for whatever big event is coming up next, and there are a few, and then he's right back in New York and no biggie, or he's just staying where he is and doing what he's doing every single day, which is probably the more likely scenario. As I said, whatever you're doing with your money, if your head is on that pillow right now and you're hearing my voice still, you want to open those eyes because you have to listen to this conversation with Steve Kelly coming up. I think it's so vital. And listen, I've been through this with my family, that you have things in place like what you want medically to happen should there be an emergency. What happens with an estate, your will? No matter if you have a little bit, a lot, it doesn't matter. You'd be very, very surprised how gunked up it can get. And he doesn't understand, and I don't understand, frankly, why people end up in those situations. So anyway, Steve Kelly coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows, pause and rewind live TV, even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
The Freeze Dry Guy presents Freeze Dried Turkey, Freeze Dried Ham, and the No Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting Freeze Dried Diced Turkey and Ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guys No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guys February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Tonight, Free Money Guy Stephen Kelly is with us. Somehow he is, I think, broadcasting from an igloo because of all the snow, of course, they've gotten in New Hampshire. But he's always here no matter what. You know, just like the mailman, he will always show up. So speaking of showing up, do you show up into an investment advisor's office and say things like, do you know how much money I have to do X, Y, Z with? What should I have? What should I do? Like completely blanking on money just in general. You know, money is paper, and the power that people give to paper, I don't understand. If they would just learn some of the tools, some of the things that Stephen actually has taught us for the last 6 months, boy, you'd be so much better off. So this is a perfect thing to start off with. First of all, how are you doing with that snow?
Well, the snow is, it keeps on falling. And there's no place to put it. So I mean, that's how we're doing with the snow. I don't know. This is a pretty amazing year, and it's it's piling up, and we're trying to make it work, but it's a challenge. But I don't want to talk about snow, and I don't want to talk about money. I want to talk about the Pats.
Of course, we have been talking about that, and how excited were you about that win?
Oh, was that just the most incredible thing you've ever seen? I was in Seattle. I went to Seattle. I told my brother when I was coming out that, you know, they're my family, and I love them, and I wanted to be there for them in their time of need. Mm-hmm. And so I did that, and I provided grief counseling for a bunch of people.
Mm.
And then we came back out here, and it's a bit of a different mood out here than it is in Seattle right now. And it's just it amazes me how much people get invested in this silly game, isn't it?
It is, but people really get invested.
Oh, they really do. And, you know, the other thing about it is, and you and I were talking about this before the call, was that, you know, we talked a little bit about knowing yourself. And that's kind of what I'd like to talk a little bit about today on the call. You know, I don't think there's a team out there that knows themselves as well as the Pats do. And I could just be biased, and I'm willing to stipulate that that's probably true. But I look at that last play of the game, and the clock's winding down. Belichick's letting it wind down. He's not calling any of his timeouts. They made the determination right there where it looked like the whole game was going to fall apart, and it was going to go to Seattle. And they're coming off two Super Bowls where that happened in the very last play or two of the game. And yet he is resolute. He lets the clock wind down, and he says, this is where we're going to make our stand, and I'm going to trust my guys. And look at the outcome there. And to me, that was just so powerful. And I know other teams do that and so forth, but if we could just be as intentional in our daily lives as these people are on the field, especially with our money, I think life would be different for people. I don't know. Maybe I'm waxing too poetic for you.
No. I agree with you. There's no doubt about it. They knew their weapons. They knew what to do. Absolutely. And that comes from Belichick for sure. And if you think about it, the intent, I mean, that's a great analogy if we would do that in our daily lives with our money. But I think what happens is people wait, they bury their head in the sand, they don't really understand, and they don't use some of the available information because they just don't want to. There's like a, it's sort of like a see no evil, be no evil, blah, 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 which I don't understand because you could, I think there's so many bridges you could repair, don't you think so?
Oh, I do. And I think it comes from the same place. You know, only about 20-25% of people out there have a will and have done estate planning. Now, last time I looked, Kate, we were all going to die at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is the one thing we know is going to happen to us at some point in time in our life. We all know that we have children and families and spouses and people that are out there that are relying on us, that love us, that we would be appalled if we thought that we were putting them at risk. And yet we don't do the very least that we can do to ensure that they're okay if something happens to us. We don't buy a minimal life insurance policy. We don't have a will or a trust. We don't do the medical proxies and things like that, healthcare proxies. And I think we don't do that stuff because we don't want to face that situation.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
That's what it is about. I think that's what it is about retirement planning. We think we're doomed and we don't want to deal with it. And the reality is if we're intentional about things, if we do things and if we get in a planning mode, A, your situation. And secondly, I've never seen anybody do this who didn't come out of it feeling a huge sense of relief. Just, okay, I finally faced it. I finally dealt with it. I've taken my head out of the sand. And now I'm relieved. And so there's tremendous benefits from looking at this and focusing on it and dealing with it. And it starts with knowing what you want your money to do for you. And one of the things that has happened over the last few days with me, a few weeks, is I've had a number of people come in who had no idea what they wanted their money to do for them. I had one guy come in today who's got a $50,000 IRA, and he wants me to, he says, but I don't want, he's 42 years old, and he says, but I don't want you to put it in anything that ties it up because I want to buy a house with it. And I said, well, okay, where do you want to buy your house? He says, in Honduras. He's from Honduras. And I said, well, you know, why not? I said, Juan, you've already tied it up. It's in an IRA. You can't take it out without paying a 10% penalty. He said, well, I can buy a house. I said, you can buy a house here. You can't buy a house in Honduras with it. So that's just kind of the issue. And I've seen this several times over the last couple of weeks. People coming in, they've got a lump of money. They're being led by someone, and they're being led in a completely in a direction completely different from the outcome they're looking for when you start digging and poking at what they really want to do with this money.
Yeah.
Is this making sense?
It is making sense, yeah.
To me, and this is one of those sort of more esoteric conversations, but I think it's, but you don't generally get stock tips from me anyway. I mean, that's not what I'm about. But to me, this is where the conversation always has to start. If you're working with someone who hasn't had this, and oftentimes it's a difficult conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a conversation about your life. I had a woman in today, and you know what really came out of the conversation after we really dug into it was, you know, her intent to leave her husband in this process. Well, now, if I don't know that as an advisor, if I don't know that, you know, it's just going to be you and you're going to be moving forward on your own, how can I possibly give you any kind of good financial advice? And yet these are the things people don't want to think about or consider or deal with when they're, you know, they want to talk about the next stock. And I'm sorry, the conversation really isn't about the next stock pick. It should be about you and your life and your goals and your desires and how your money plays in that. And when you do that, you have the ability to take away from that money, that power you talked about earlier that people give it.
Yep.
People give their money in an inordinate amount of power in their lives. And so what they end up doing is they end up using fear and greed as the primal movers when they make decisions about their money because they don't have any clear agenda for it.
Yeah.
So, crazy. I mean, I don't know, Kate. I don't know if this was, you know, this is just kind of where my head's at today. So
I think it's helpful for everybody listening to us out there in those nooks and crannies, whether you're listening in Sarasota, Florida, or you're listening to us in Ottumwa, Iowa, or you're listening to us in Nashua, New Hampshire, because, of course, we're on WSMN 1590, just like Stephen Kelly. I mean, all of you can, I think, relate to this. It is a struggle, I think, that's very common with a lot of people. So if people want to know more, Mr. Free Money Guy, send them once again to your website and the phone number.
Well, we're on WSMN every Tuesday and Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. You can get us at www.freemoneyguys.com, or you can find us at 844-4-FREEMO, or obviously you can look on my look for my book on Amazon.com, and anybody that calls that number will get a free copy of the book.
Awesome. All right, we'll see you again next week, Stephen.
Looking forward to it.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
Really, that we started last year, called Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done, inspired by our own Nathan Reeder, and it turned into something that a lot of people could relate to, because whether we like to admit it or not, we all do dumb things once in a while, right? So on that note, let's head to Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done.
Dumb, 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 dumb. I warned you, but did you listen to me? Oh, no, you knew it all, didn't you? Oh, it's just a harmless little funny, isn't it? Well, it's always the same. I always tell them,
up.
Do they listen to me?
Right.
Oh, no.
You gotta love that. Got this one from Francis in Maryland, who says, Kate, I don't know how I did this, but I drive a stick. I've driven a stick my whole life. I parked the car, had the car running, was just running into the bakery. And unfortunately, I say I parked the car, but I didn't have it in the right gear, if you know what I mean. So the car rolled forward just enough to hit the car in front of it. And though there wasn't a lot of momentum, there was enough to smash a taillight and cost me, $400 when it was all said and done because there were some paint scrapes and it was pretty costly donut day. Yeah, you got to be careful with that with when you drive a stick. And I'm assuming when you say I had it in gear, you know, either the car was, I'm thinking the car was off, but you didn't have it in right gear. I don't know, because then you would have jumped out because I drive a stick. Or you had it running and you didn't have it in neutral is what I'm thinking. I think that's what you meant to say. But either way, oh, that would be the worst. Ugh, it would be the worst to have that happen. All right, along those same lines, although a little bit different, Mac in Florida says, Kate, I was driving my girlfriend and her kids home, and here's the mistake that I made. When they jumped in the car, some of the kids were getting into the car, and I thought they were already in, and the door was closed, but alas, one of the back doors wasn't closed. And when I pulled out of the spot, the door smashed into the car that was right next to mine. So when I pulled out, in other words, it hit the car and scraped it and did a little bit of damage, let's say. Everybody came running out of their houses that were right there in the front. And it was not only embarrassing, costly, but scary, I guess, that I pulled out and didn't even realize that the door wasn't closed. Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to make sure all your passengers are in. Are the doors closed? I mean, usually, too, it's weird in a new car. If the doors aren't closed, isn't there a ding, 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 ding thing that happens? I guess that didn't happen there. Or you didn't realize it, or maybe it was an older car. I'm not sure. It's funny, Mac, you are not alone in this. I'm sure other people have done this. I had a friend, Mara, when we were in high school. That happened with her. We were in her parents' car, and we were at our friend's house, and this was in Haddonfield, New Jersey. And, you know, you parked on the side of the road, and the roads were pretty tight. And so then what happened was she pulled out, and sure enough, that's what happened. Somebody had a door was open, and it hit, and it crunched the door. And it was, you know, you get dents and stuff. It's not cheap. By any means, and especially now with how cars are made, I think it's maybe even more expensive than that. It's kind of a little bit of a car theme here. This is Joe in Illinois who says, Kate, how would you like to live in an apartment building where for the past 15 years you go in and out, no problem. You punch in the gate code, you get through the gate, you don't seem to have any problem. And, you know, the gate code is on this pole and it's got a metal box. And for some reason, I think I didn't have enough sleep. I came out, got in the car, had to punch the box, and I smashed into the pole. Oh, it was damaging, to say the least. I guess my eyesight, I just didn't catch my depth of perception or whatever was off, so I didn't catch where the box was, even though I had done it so many times. It was ridiculous. And it was pretty damaging to the front of my car. It ended up costing me $800. So I think there was a lesson in this about sleeping, not sleeping just for 2 hours and then going to work. And I really believe that that was probably the cause of it. Yeah, if you get behind the wheel and you're, you know, they have statistics on that now. If you get behind the wheel and you're super sleepy, the chances of a like that kind of a thing, a weird parking deal where your depth of perception is what it is, where that's off or you're just tired. I mean, so like a sloppy mistake. You didn't turn the wheel enough. You didn't turn the car enough. And then, you know, lo and behold, in some of the parking structures, you didn't really elaborate on yours, but some of the parking structures are really tight, especially they spiral around and around depending on how deep the garage is. And it can be pretty tight to handle those curves anyway. So you weren't talking about the curves. You were talking about punching the numbers and getting out. But coming off of that, depending on how tight that was, I can see how that might be a little bit, a little bit tricky. All right, and here's one from Mary in Texas who says, Kate, this is just an innocent one for me, but it was kind of embarrassing. It wasn't a dine and ditch. We were at a family restaurant, one, in fact, where we probably knew most of the people in there, and we got to gabbing, and before you know it, plates are cleared, the conversation keeps flowing, and we didn't pay the check and didn't realize it. The waiter was already in the back somewhere, I think probably closing up some things, and we took off. So it looked as though we had dined and dashed. The restaurant tracked one of us down. There was a group of us, four of us, and certainly we ran back to pay our tab the next day, and I added a nice gratuity for the waiter, who I'm sure was shocked by what had happened. Oh, yeah, that would be, and I don't know how old Mary is, but that'd be pretty embarrassing. I can see how you could misremember that. Unlike Brian Williams with the RPG and the helicopter, where you're sitting there and it's blah, 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 and everybody's talking. Although, there's kind of that thing where you say, did you get the check? Did you get the check? Has the check come? Did the check come yet? But maybe the waiter eventually kind of stops swarming, and then you think you've paid, perhaps. I can see how that could happen. But it would be pretty mortifying if they track you down. Misses. You didn't pay that check. All right, here's one, because we haven't done this in a while. Here's one from Gary, also from Florida. He says, from Sarasota, Florida. And Gary proudly says, one of the worst days of my life, I had to make a bunch of Easter eggs for the kids. I went into the Publix and had a whole bunch of eggs in my hand, figuring, oh, I can just run in and get these eggs. And before you know it, you know, one dozen turns into two, and then three, and then four, and then five dozen eggs. And it's still, you know, they're pretty light. I didn't have a basket, didn't think I needed one. And the floor was a little bit slippery. It wasn't the store's fault, but I slipped and fell, and all of the eggs came crashing down on the grocery store floor. So, you know, when they yell, clean up, clean up, on aisle number 7, yep, that was me. Oh, what a mess. Eggs weren't ridiculously expensive, so I just had to dust myself off, take the yolk out of my pants, go back and get a basket and do it the right way. Yeah, that sounds like something I would do. I always go in and think, oh, I just need a couple of things. Yeah, I just need a couple of things. Start grabbing things, and all of a sudden your hands are, like, overwhelmed with the amount of groceries that you have. But I've never done that with eggs. So that one takes the cake. That's the winner, I think, this time around for dumb things I shouldn't have done.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.